Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And we are on the road to redemption. You can't find a more appropriate moniker to go by than trying to get this thing redeemed. Here after the last couple years, 3 years consecutively missing the playoffs, 2 years consecutively losing seasons and picking in the top 10. If the Broncos are going to figure it out, guys, they have to score points. That's the name of the game, right? It seems like the league is evolving to an even further level that the Broncos seem just a little bit stuck in the past. But when we talk about what we know for this offense, we have a new quarterback, questions about the offensive line, questions about our most dynamic receiver's health. He says he feels great, but missed quarter of a season, each of the last two coming off a major injury. We talk about Noah Fant, first-round pick. The history of guys coming in the league at that position and having a ton of success just isn't there. I believe only three in the history of the game over 700 yards as a rookie at the tight end spot. We have a Pro Bowl running back who's coming off an injury that didn't participate this offseason. Cortland Sutton, questions about whether he can go from year one to year two or even be a number one if we need him to. When we talk about what's known, I just threw out a bunch of question marks for you. What are you guys reasonably confident in that you can point to something? James, we'll start with you. We can point to something on the offensive side of the ball and say, man, I know we have a bunch of question marks, but I feel really good about this.
It's a guy we've never seen play a game in orange and blue. It's Joe Flacco. Like, you know what you're going to get out of Joe Flacco.
Oh.
You may not love what you're going to get out of Joe Flacco. Well, more maybe not 100%, but I think he's closer to 100% than a lot of those other guys you mentioned. Like, you know, he's a guy with a big arm. He's a guy that, you know, 34 years old. He's been in the league for a decade. He knows how to read defenses. He knows what's coming, you know, what's going to come at him. You know, not a super mobile guy. Like, we're not going to go down there on Thursday and watch practice for the first time and be shocked by what we see out of Joe Flacco. We know what we're going to get. He's a big-armed, big quarterback that primarily is going to throw from the pocket. I think every other spot on the field and in the coaching booth is a question mark. That offense is nothing but questions. Joe Flacco is maybe a slight one because he's new here, but we've seen him play that position, seen him play it at a relatively high level, win a Super Bowl MVP in this league for 10 years. He's the most known commodity on that offense.
Stoke, you were getting a pushback.
Yeah, I can't go there with you with Joe Flacco because I look at him and say, okay, what are we going to get here in Denver from Joe Flacco? Is he on the tail end of his career and we're going to get a Joe Flacco that's a shell of himself? You know, that's kind of packed it in with the NFL and it, you know, left his stuff in Baltimore, is just going to go and not be that same quarterback that we saw, you know, that he could be in Baltimore. So to me, that's a big, big unknown in this type of system with a new coordinator, new pieces all around him. Like, what Joe Flacco are we going to get? Is he done, or is he, like John said, in the prime of his career? So to me, that's a huge unknown. And everything across the board, I don't know if there's one known. I mean, Philip Lindsay, he's an unknown still. He's got to do it again. He's got to prove that he can back up the rookie year, that it wasn't a one-year fluke. I mean, our tight end position is, you know, we're going to be counting on Jake Butt, Jeff Hireman, and a rookie. I mean, those guys are unknowns. Offensive line, all across the board, big question marks. Receivers, Emmanuel Sanders coming off the Achilles, Cortland Sutton, did nice job his rookie year, but, I mean, can he do it again? And can he take that next step as the number two wide receiver? So I guess the one maybe unknown, or if I had to say one, would be our right tackle, Juwan James. I you know, that he's going to be a really good player over there, but, you know, can he live up to that contract? Probably not, but that would be it. Other than, I mean, I'd just say, look, everything to me right now on the offense, every single spot and every single player is a question mark.
Stink, is there any portion of this offense or player?
I think you accidentally just agreed with James.
That's what I was kind of thinking.
Well,
right?
I didn't want to chime in. Well, I already had my time.
No. He's everything Joe Flacco.
I know everything's but unknown that Joe Flacco's the most known.
He's the default answer, right?
I'm saying nobody.
Okay, well, that was my thought was when the most known commodity, unless you want to say the most known commodity is Garrett Bowles, he's going to have 10 to 12 holding calls a game.
We're talking about good stuff, though.
Okay, then I'm going to go Joe Flacco. You know, the one thing I know is Joe Flacco thrived in this offense in 2014. Joe Flacco played really well up until he had the hip injury last year for the Baltimore Ravens, actually beat the Denver Broncos in a week four matchup. And, you know, I called the game in Baltimore the first time in Joe Flacco's career that he was a healthy scratch, that he was healthy enough to play and he didn't start a game. First time in his NFL career, and it hurt him to the core. Like, you could tell. I talked to him about it. It hurt him. And I feel like that motivation, like, we've all been there. I mean, I was told by the Washington Redskins, he can't play anymore. Like, it drives me and pisses me off to this day. It's still a driving factor. Like, you don't get to this level without being a type A, just uber competitive dude, right? And so I look at that as a good thing. You were told by your organization that you won a Super Bowl MVP with and that you play great with, that this guy who doesn't know how to throw is a better option for us than you. And let me just tell you, Lamar Jackson's a great kid, and that running game was like nothing I'd ever seen before. That running game in Baltimore was mind-boggling how good that running game is. That kid, like, that kid is literally, like, I'm watching him play, and I'm like, are you sure you're right-handed? You are that bad throwing the football. And it was, I mean, it's shocking how bad he was. Now, will he improve? Gosh, I hope so. But that is not a sustainable, like, if that doesn't improve dramatically, that's not a sustainable offense in Baltimore. Like, that's going to get that whole staff fired, making that decision. And you're Joe Flacco, and that's what you lost out to? Like, if I'm Joe, I'm pissed, and I got something to prove. So, to me, he's the biggest known commodity for me.
I definitely have to agree, and I find it very comical. You know, listening to Stoke give his, you know, comments.
Whoa, it's getting hot now. Yeah, comical. Keep going.
Give his comments about Joe Flacco. And I'm just going to piggyback off of what Mark was saying. When we look at Joe Flacco, and not so many people are giving him a lot of credit, and Stokely being one of those individuals. Let's just take a look at, you know, Joe Flacco being a part of the Baltimore Ravens, right? Mark actually mentioned the year that he had a great year, Gary Kubiak was the offensive coordinator. They threw a lot of passes to the tight end position. Kyle Juszczyk was part of that, the fullback. You know, he was kind of a pass-catching fullback out of the backfield. And the Broncos have to find that now with Scangarello, but let's not really throw Flacco under the bus, because he had four different offensive coordinators. He had wide receivers, right? Some were great, some were not. You know, when you look at, Torrey Smith. He was just a one-trick pony. The vertical route. He couldn't run every route on the passing tree, right? And then you look at the run game after Ray Rice, what did he have? Alex Collins, who had a couple of consistent games. So when we look at Joe Flacco's overall production, it did go down because he didn't really have those players around him, and the offensive scheme seemed to change every year or every 2 years, to his credit. Now, back to Stokely, and I guess attacking Joe Flacco. Right?
I'm not attacking Joe Flacco.
Yes, you are.
I'm just stating the facts. What are the facts?
Are they really the facts?
The facts are he's a big unknown here.
You're basing that off of what we've seen up to this point, and going back to what Mark was saying, it was the Baltimore Ravens going with this trend, wanting to find one of those RPO quarterbacks. That's why Lamar Jackson is there. He's not a better passer. He's a better, you know, athlete than Joe Flacco. That's the only reason that happened.
And he was drafted in the first round.
And the reason, why was he drafted in the first round? Because Joe was injured, right? That started that trend. So listening to everyone talk about Joe Flacco as though he wasn't a Super Bowl MVP, and that, guess what? He emptied the tank. There's nothing left. To me, that's utterly ridiculous. Well, and that's why when you were talking, I was sitting here. I'm like, I can't wait, because this is so hilarious.
So the question was unknown here, and for me, Joe Flacco is a big unknown here because, you know, once again, this is a new system for him. Maybe he played in this type of system with Gary Kubiak, but it's a different system under Rich Scangarello / Kyle Shanahan and the way that offense is run now than what he had in 2013 or 14 with Gary Kubiak. So this is another new offense for him. So for me, what are we going to see from a 34-year-old Joe Flacco going into year 12 or 13? You know, what is it going to look like? New team, new coordinator, new system, all of these different changes for him. Yes, he's got nice weapons and maybe better weapons than he's ever had, but it's still an unknown. And I'm not, don't say I'm down on Joe, though. I'm not down on Joe. I think he's an upgrade, but still, to me, he's an unknown.
Let me just say this. After hearing what each of you guys have said for the last 10 minutes, it's striking me as the more things change, the more they stay the same with one particular dynamic. I'll tell you exactly what it is next.
It's the Fan War Room, Training Camp 2019, Road to Redemption Preview, presented by Brothers Barbecue. Here's your host, Zach Bye.
Yes, we are live in the War Room, Training Camp 2019, Road to Redemption. And as we were going into the break, I said, I'm listening to you guys, internalizing what you guys are saying about the offensive side of the football. And I said, the more things change, the more they stay the same in one specific dynamic. And what I'm talking about, as some of you may have guessed, is that it feels like, although there has been a lot of change, and in fact with the Broncos, I think they have undertaken the most change of any team in all of football. New head coach, new OC, new DC, new QB, new RT, new center, new guard, right? All across the board. But the one dynamic, after listening to you guys, feels like still at play here in Denver, is that if the Broncos are going to continue on this road to redemption and, say, be a 10-6 football team, they're once again, for about the fifth or however many years it is, they're going to lean so heavily on their defense to be great. It just doesn't seem like the offense, although we're optimistic, it doesn't seem like there's tangible reliability there, James Merritt.
Look, it's the opposite of what we just talked about with the offense, right? If you look on the defensive side of the ball, there's six or seven guys where you go, we know what we're going to get. You know what you're going to get from Vaughn and Bradley Chubb and Derek Wolfe and even a guy like Shelby Harris who's new in the middle of that defensive line. We've seen them do it. We know what we're going to get. New cornerbacks that are coming in and new safeties. Like, yeah, but we've seen them play at this level. And, you know, nothing's ever 100% sure, but there's a reasonable expectation. So they're like the mirror image of the offense. The offense is nothing but question marks. The defense, I know Vic Fangio and that staff is different. But, again, there's another guy we've seen do it at a high level and have some really, really good defenses in this league. So that group I expect to be good, and I expect them to be good from the jump, and they're going to have to be. I mean, the Broncos traditionally start the year pretty hot, playing home games here certainly helps early in the year. If they're able to do that again and get off to a hot start, it's going to be in low-scoring games. I mean, the best offensive player on this team is their kicker. That should have been the question to that earlier, or the answer to that earlier question is that's the one guy you know something about, Brandon McManus. Other than that, it's nothing but question marks. The defense, whole other deal. That's a group you can rely on.
Can I ask Nick a question from his to lean on his coaching expertise and his knowledge there? So one of the things that you come to realize when you're breaking down these games is how quick the ball is out of everybody's hands and how dominant the underneath passing game has become. And one of the things that I see consistently is teams that have linebackers that can run and tackle, like, they eliminate a lot of that underneath passing game. And when you broke down the Chicago Bears, they probably played base to more sub-package looks, more nickel looks than any other team I watched. So they've got two linebackers in Roquan Smith and Danny Trevathan that can run like the wind, great tacklers. I mean, you know, they can go curl to flat, and if you dump it off the flat, they'll rally up there from 12 yards deep and tackle you for a 1 or 2 yard gain. And that to me is a huge advantage when you start breaking out as an offense in a zebra package, in a three wides package, and all of a sudden, you know, you're trying to get them to change personnel grouping so you can cram it down somebody's throat and get a matchup, a guard on a small safety type of guy. And Chicago never had to do that last year. So I guess my question to you is the one weakness that I think, you know, is glaring to me here is the middle linebacker position for the Denver Broncos. And can what you've seen from those two guys, can they play that? Or are they going to have to sub out? Is it going to change some of what Vic Fangio would like to do or what he was able to do, I guess, more importantly, last year?
Yeah, I mean, for Chicago, they had two guys in Trevathan and Roquan Smith. Fast linebackers, great in the pass game, great against the run. Here in Denver, we don't have that. Right, it would have been great to keep Brandon Marshall because he would have been a great fit for this defense. But now you have Todd Davis and Josie Jules. Of those two guys, I'll go with Todd Davis. Josie Jules will probably be one of those guys who's probably going to be subbed out. because now we're talking about Sua Cravens, who now plays safety. Maybe they bring him down and put him as an extra athletic defender who can now match up with tight ends but still effective in the run. That's another reason why a guy like Kareem Jackson was brought here. And we're trying to figure out, you know, where is he going to play? Is he going to play outside? Is he going to play safety? Or is he going to be an extra linebacker, you know, in the sub package? And with Coach Fangio, you like to have options. Like you said, there are more teams now that run 11 personnel, you know, three wide receivers. Because the idea is when teams spread you out, you thinking that they want to pass the ball. No, teams spread you out because they want to run the ball. So you need more athletic guys on the field. So it is somewhat of a question mark, and you wonder which guy's going to elevate and raise their level of play. And when I look at the Broncos roster, this is great for a guy like Will Parks, a guy like Sua Cravens. You get extra reps, opportunities to be on the field. And Zach, you're right. This is a defensive-minded team. I mean, look at the head coach. Look at, you know, why he was hired, what he was able to do, whether it was with the 49ers or the Chicago Bears. This defense, from a personnel standpoint, is similar to that of Chicago. Now, we have better guys in the secondary than Prince Amukamara and Kyle Fuller, right? But it is based on getting pressure. This defense, when I look at it, it starts and ends with Von Miller and Bradley Chubb. If something were to happen to either of those two guys, that changes the whole complexity of what Fangio wants to do with his defense. But this is the start of the training camp, so we're looking at with those both of those guys being healthy. If they're healthy, now you could do so many things in the back end, and you don't really have to worry about issues with the linebacker position.
Stoke, the dynamic of the team. This has been sort of at play for years, and we can recall Aqib Talib, you know, shouting down Russell Okung and specific examples like that. But the Broncos here for about a half a decade have leaned on one side of the ball. Do you see that same sort of dynamic at play?
Absolutely. I think it's going to be a let's run the football. Let's play not good defense. You better play great defense. And, you know, Joe, make a few plays for us. Fourth quarter, third down plays. That's what we need from Joe Flacco. But I think overall it's going to be let's lean on our defense and let's rely on those guys to play great. I mean, if this team wants to get back to, you know, a 10-win, some people say 12-win team, to me, if they want to get to 9 wins, the defense has got to play great. Great defense, not good defense. Great defense. Yes, they're going to have to rely heavily on the defense.
And Stink, you sort of went a different direction, but do you still see that dynamic at play here?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, they're going to have to be great on the defense side. I mean, you've got two of the elite pass rushers in all of football. You got one of the elite corners in all of football. You've got to be great. You've got to lean on that, and you've got versatility in your secondary. Your secondary, Kareem Jackson is a really good football player. Bryce Callahan is a really—he was a great slot corner for Chicago last year. Not afraid to tackle. He does a lot of things well. I like Will Parks. You know, Justin Simmons, right?
Yep.
Even Justin Simmons, you watch him. Go back 2 years ago when he had a lineup and play corner in Miami. I called that game. And now he gave up a play on a double move that he got beat on because he just never practiced. I mean, he didn't get. But that's a guy that's athletic enough to say, "Hey, Kareem, we're going to play you at safety, and we're going to have Justin Simmons come down and play some corner for us." Like he is that athletic. So they've got versatility back there. Like I said, Chicago is based out of what they were based out of is essentially a 5-2. They call it a 3-4, but it's a 5-2. They run five guys on the line of scrimmage. That middle linebacker position is the only thing that I really am a little bit leery about. But, yeah, I think their defense is going to have to be great for them, and they're going to have to lead the way again.
We're live here in the Fan War Room Training Camp 2019 Road to Redemption, sponsored by Brothers Barbecue, local guys founded and company-owned right here in Denver, Colorado for the last two decades. They have seven different Denver metro locations from Castle Rock all the way to Broomfield. Brothers Barbecue offers full-service catering, and we're experiencing that right now. They have knocked it out of the park, and they also offer on-site grilling for all your summer events, delivering delicious smoked meats and handcrafted sides no matter where you are. Hit them up, brothers-bbq.com. Earlier in this war room, I asked you guys if the Broncos have found the right man at head coach. We've also been asking that same question about one position in particular, and I'll ask you guys that very question next.
Fan War Room, Training Camp 2019, Road to Redemption Preview, presented by Brothers Barbecue. Here's your host, Zach By.
Yes, and we are live. Training Camp 2019.
Hey, Mike Evans does that to me all the time. Hey, do you remember what I teased? No, I don't listen to you.
About three times a day. And the worst part is I look at our producer, Steve, I go, Steven, what did I say? He just goes, I don't know.
No need to throw Steven under the bus like that. We're all a team.
All right, going into the break, I asked you guys earlier in the show, I said, hey, have the Broncos finally found their guy, a head coach? They've changed head coaches as often as anyone in the sport, but what they've done more often than anyone in the sport definitely is they've changed quarterbacks. You know, since Peyton Manning has walked out the door, guys who have started games for the Denver Broncos, Trevor Siemian, Brock Osweiler, Paxton Lynch, Case Keenum, and now Joe Flacco, and I think I'm forgetting someone in there, did I? Well, regardless, they've changed quarterback a lot, and it seems like John Elway is taking one last stab at this thing before being forced to play a young draft pick again. Joe Flacco, and James, we'll start at this end of the table, James Merrillat, Nick Ferguson, Brandon Stokley, Mark Schlereth all joining me here in the War Room. Is Joe Flacco, are we being sold this bill of goods? No one nationally is high on Joe Flacco. No one nationally believes that Joe Flacco is going to lead this team back to the playoffs. Where are you at personally with this Joe Flacco experiment that's about to get started in 48 hours?
I think reality is somewhere in the middle, right? I think this national perspective that Joe Flacco can't play at all, I don't know where that comes from. I mean, he's a relatively accomplished NFL quarterback. I mean, again, we harp on it, but Super Bowl MVP, played in this league for more than 10 years, former first-round pick, all these things that you want on the resume. That tell me, hey, you don't play that long, you don't start that many games if you can't play the position. I think the idea that he's going to come in here and this is the second coming of Peyton Manning in a second phase of his career, that's ridiculous as well. But he's a huge upgrade over what we've had. I mean, the preposterous notion that the Broncos were going to defend a Super Bowl championship with a guy who'd taken one snap and it was to take a knee. I mean, that level of quarterback play. The Paxton Lynch, the Brock Osweiler 2.0, the other guys we've seen come through here, Case Keenum, a career backup, that was being sold to bill of goods. A year ago right now when people were telling you that Case Keenum was the answer and he was going to solve all the problems and we finally have the right guy at the helm, that was a bill of goods. Joe Flacco's light years better than the guys they've had in here the last three or four years.
Nick?
Yeah, I like the addition of Joe Flacco. I went through all my supporting points when I talked about how ridiculous Stokely was with his comments. And when I would look at this situation, John Elway knew a couple of things, especially after Peyton Manning was here. I need a veteran quarterback. They tried to go out and Brock Osweiler was a guy. Paxton Lynch was a guy they moved up in the draft to get. And like James said, Case Keenum was a journeyman. He was a backup. Yeah, he had an excellent season with the Minnesota Vikings, but could he bring that with him here with the system being entirely different? So for John Elway, it was one of those rinse and repeat type of things. With a veteran quarterback, you can sell that to the fan base. You can sell that to the guys in the locker room because we go back to taking that guy, walking him in that locker room and say, well, this is our quarterback. The veterans in that room, they will be willing to jump on that bandwagon because they've seen this movie before. Now, what the outcome is going to look like, we don't know just yet. But at the very beginning, we know that Joe Flacco would give the Broncos a better chance than any of the previous quarterbacks. So this is a great move. Here's a guy who's played in the league a while. He's had several different offensive coordinators. He has a guy, like I said before, in Scangarello, who's calling plays for the first time. I have more power now to talk to my coordinator than I may have had in years prior to say, listen, these are the things that I like, right? My success depends on you and vice versa. If this situation, goes according to plan, now people are talking about me in a whole different light, the way they used to talk about me. You and Rich Scangarello, now they're looking at you as head coach material. We've seen this happen before. That's why Zach Taylor is now the head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals because he was with Sean McVay and Jared Goff, looking at the level of success that Jared Goff experienced in his second year. So I'm really high on Joe Flacco. I'm not down like most people. I really believe in him. And like Mark said earlier, when you have something that motivates you coming into camp, being as though you've been in this league a long time, to me, you're playing for something now. It's just like when he came out of Delaware and he was drafted by Baltimore, he was playing for a reason. You were a first-round pick. Now you're a first-round pick by the Denver Broncos. Now we need you to carry this team.
Stoke, is Joe Flacco a legitimate long-term option here that we may not even see Drew Lock play as quarterbacks play into their late 30s and early 40s now? Joe Flacco's only 34 years old. Could he be here 3-4 seasons from now?
He definitely could be. I think John would love if that was the case here where Joe Flacco plays the next 3 years here and is the starting quarterback. I think the perception around Joe Flacco is what it is because when you look at today's NFL game, it's a passing game. You look at his stats, and obviously they run things a little bit different in Baltimore. They weren't asking him to go out there and throw the football 40, 50 times a game. So you look at his stats, and they don't blow you off the page right away. I mean, they don't just jump off the page right away. I mean, you look at, 1 year he had over 4,000 yards passing.
That's
most ever touchdowns in his career, 27. So his stats don't blow you away. But at the same time, Joe Flacco was a product of the Baltimore Ravens and what they asked him to do, and I think that's what they're going to ask him to do here. Now, the question is, what Joe Flacco are we going to get? Are we going to get the 2014 Joe Flacco where he was just under 4,000 yards, 27 touchdowns, 12 interceptions? Or are we going to get the Joe Flacco of 2 years ago where, it's 3,100 yards, 18 touchdowns, 13 interceptions? We need a little bit more than that. So where's Joe Flacco in his career? Is he in his prime, like John Elway said, or is he, on the downside of it? And that's one of the interesting, obviously, a big part of whether the Denver Broncos are going to be a successful team or not this year is what Joe Flacco are they going to get?
And a lot of that is answered to me by how's his offensive line play underneath Mike Munchak? How does Emmanuel Sanders health? How does Noah Fant? How does he come in here and play? How does your third wide receiver, whoever that might be, Deshaun Hamilton? How does he progress? How does Cortland Sutton? See, the quarterback position, we've all been as fans, we've all been influenced by this fantasy football kind of generation that we're in right now. And we all want to quantify everything by a number. And we're all looking for the unicorn to come in and play quarterback, right? We're looking for a Pat Mahomes to come in and blow everybody away. And, the unicorn doesn't exist. If you look at all the quarterbacks in the NFL, there are three or four guys out of 32, the Aaron Rodgers, the Pat Mahomes, there are those guys that can hoist a team on their back. The only quarterback in the history of the National Football League, now I'm talking the history of the National Football League, to have a winning record when he throws it over 50 times a game is Tom Brady. Every other guy, Joe Montana, Terry Bradshaw, go through a list of Hall of Fame quarterbacks. Every other guy, when he throws it 50-plus times, has a losing record. So most quarterbacks, 95% of them, have got to have a supporting cast. I called a game in Atlanta last year. You make a pretty compelling argument that that may be the fastest team in football. When you start watching, you start watching Calvin Ridley, and you start watching Julio Jones, and you watch Tevin Coleman back in the day, and you watch the players that they have. I mean, Hooper, Austin Hooper, like they will. If they had a 4x100 track team, they would win the NFL 4x100. Like, they've got all kinds of talent. You know what happened to them last year? They lost three of their starting offensive linemen. They were 7-9. Because Matt Ryan can't do it by himself. And he's a damn good quarterback. He's an MVP just 2 years ago.
I was going to say, and he threw for about 5,600 yards a year ago.
Yeah, so I'm just telling you that, I don't put that on Joe Flacco. I don't, and even when it comes to Pat Mahomes got to sit for a year. His head coach, or his offense coordinator at the time, was Matt Nagy, who's the head coach of the Chicago Bears, told me, I can't tell you how invaluable Alex Smith was in the tutoring process of Pat Mahomes. But you start looking at that offense, and you're like, Travis Kelce is one of the most talented tight ends in football. I had Wink Martindale, the defense coordinator of the Baltimore Ravens, tell me, and he's been in this business forever. He said, what's the cat's name, Hill, that plays wide receiver?
Tyreek Hill.
Tyreek Hill. He goes, that is the most dynamic, fastest guy in pads I've ever seen, ever. Game day speed, I've never seen a faster guy. And then you start talking about the design, especially the screen game and the run game of Andy Reid. Like, that's a damn talented football team that Patrick Mahomes got to take over. Now, he did remarkable things, and he's way beyond his years. But I'm just telling you, there's three of those guys. There are four of those guys in the NFL, and the rest of them, you better damn well have a supporting cast, otherwise they're not going to be any good.
And back to your projection of Flacco, do you believe that he could be the guy here for the next
Absolutely.
4 years?
There ain't no, like, to me, the league has changed in that the way they protect the quarterbacks, you can't even land on a quarterback. You can't hit a quarterback. You can't eat, you know, you can't eat onions and bacon for breakfast without getting fined in this league. Like, the way they protect him, I think the quarterback, the prime of the quarterback's career, where you used to start hitting your prime at 27, you know, and that was your prime into 35 or 36. I think you don't hit your prime now at that position. You're 32, 30. You're rolling in your prime at 32. So, you know, what we've seen out of Drew Brees, what we've seen out of Tom Brady, what we've seen out of Ben Roethlisberger, what we've seen out of Phillip Rivers, you know, a lot of that is because they've taken care of these guys. They're a huge commodity. They're $100 million players, and the league is protecting their investment. So, yeah, I think he, you know, I think he could have 3-4 years, good years, in his quote-unquote prime.
James Merrill out of 1043thefan.com. Is Joe Flacco the number one storyline heading into 2019 training camp, Road to Redemption, or is there something else for you?
Boy, probably. I mean, quarterback gets all the attention, right? So that's what we're going to focus on. We've been covering it, you know, for the last 3 years of who's going to get that job. At least we know this time in. But I think in terms of he may get the most attention, and that may be the most, you know, column inches to go back in the day. But with all the questions we've thrown out there on the offensive side, in terms of inside linebackers, all the questions on this team, he shouldn't be the number one storyline. He probably will be, but he shouldn't be. But you mentioned Atlanta, and I think the upside for Joe Flacco here is what Matt Ryan did when he was in that Kyle Shanahan offense. To me, they're very similar type quarterbacks, right? Big, tall guy, big arm, can throw the deep ball, not going to beat you with their legs. They're not going to run around and make plays and really extend plays. I think that's what Joe Flacco's ceiling is here. And, man, I think we'd all take that in a heartbeat. That was MVP-caliber performance. So he'll be the number one story because quarterback always is. I'm just not sure that's the number one thing to focus on.
Nick, how about you? For you, when you're out there, as we're going to be there in 48 hours at UC Health Training Center, the most intriguing topic for you, or phase, or person, player, whoever?
I'm looking at the offensive line. That's been a huge issue over the past couple of years. There have been a mixture and carousel of guys due to injury and deficiencies, and guys been playing out of position. And if that unit doesn't have some kind of cohesiveness, it's going to be a problem. I know we were talking about Joe Flacco being a storyline, but it is that offensive line. And I will continue to go back to this. I mean, there are five different guys on that offensive line that play different positions, but they have to be able to play as one. There's been a lot of pressure put on, you know, Mike Munchak to be the guy to come back and just kind of change and retool this offensive line. And if that offensive line can be effective, and we're not just talking about Garrett Bowles, but as a group, limiting the amount of holding calls, because when that happens, that stalls drives. You're not moving the chains. That's taking points off of the board, and that's not keeping the defense on the sideline to keep them fresh, so now Von Miller and Bradley Chubb can get out after opposing quarterbacks. So it starts with that group. If they can pass protect, then we move on to being able to move a man off of his space as far as run blocking. Now, whether it's Freeman, whether it's Booker, whether it's Lindsey, no matter how Scangarello wants to use Lindsey, now we're talking about being more productive, looking different than the San Francisco 49ers offense looked last season.
And I want to skip over you just for a second, Stokely.
What?
Because I want to ask.
Seriously, I was ready.
I just want to ask Mark, who's
there. You better get your pen out and write down so you don't.
Yeah, I know.
you are Stink uniquely qualified to answer this question that Nick just sort of hit on. He said the biggest storyline for him in training camp is going to be the offensive line, and much like the quarterback. I feel like that you're such a goof. He just Stokely, his idea was screw you, Zach. That's on my paper. We've been talking about the offensive line, like we've talked about the quarterback here. They've thrown just about every resource they can at it. You got a first round draft pick on the left side. You have a top of the second round draft pick for the left guard. You paid the highest right tackle in the history of the sport on the right side, and you have the best offensive line coach allegedly in the sport. Is this finally the year that we can, to a certain degree, put this thing to bed, and we can wake up every Sunday knowing that our offensive line is going to be in the better half of the NFL that week?
That's a question that I can't answer until I see it. Like, you know, you talk about using a first round draft choice. Like, there's a lot of first round draft choices that are great usage of the pick. And there's a lot of guys that end up being busts. You know, it's a 50-50. We had one in Paxton Lynch that we moved up to 26 to get. Couldn't play dead in the Western, but we got him. Right? And so Garrett Bowles is on the fast track to either figure out a way to fix it or get cut. And that's where you are right now. And can Mike Munchak fix that? That remains to be seen. So, but that's a huge issue. And they've thrown, I mean, I always think, you know, you say chase the money or follow the money in the NFL. Like, follow the decisions they make. They can say whatever they want. But there's a huge concern over there that Garrett Bowles isn't fixable. And that's why they're paying Mike Munchak. And, you know, I know for a fact because I've talked to certain general managers in this league. I won't use any names that said they took Garrett Bowles off the board meeting with him. So there's plenty of those guys, and there were plenty of those guys on Paxton Lynch as well.
That's right.
So those are really, like, if that's the case, those are really bad picks right now. And so you have to make that. You have to make that work. And I had inside information, and, you know, I mean, was told, I don't know the truth of it or not, but they were going to bench Garrett Bowles last year, and then Valdir got hurt, and they had to use Wilkinson at the right tackle position. So that was a move they were going to make last year. So this is where we are right now with this pick, and let me just tell you, as a guy who watches film and studies it all the time, like, I know when a guy doesn't know what he's doing. I can tell by this pass set. I can tell by, like, offensive linemen, when you don't know what you're doing, you know what they do? They just set, and they get their head on a swivel because they're not quite sure who to block. Well, the athletes on the other side of the ball, I mean, we are exceptionally gifted athletes. We are by far the worst athlete on any football field, and it's not close. So if you're setting up telling me I'm going to block Von Miller or I'm going to block Bradley Chubb, but I'm not quite sure who I have, so let me just kind of set up and let them come at me, you'll get beat 100% of the time. And the fact that you don't change your sets and you don't set, like, there are times where you can be aggressive. There are times you have to change the angle of your set. You have to change the depth of your set. You have to change the aggressiveness of your set. You have to change the hands that you punch with. You got to do a lot of different things to play that position efficiently. When you set up the same way 100% of the time, that's why you lead the league in tackles. There were games where Garrett Bowles had more tackles than Von Miller.
That's not a joke, Mark. That's real.
Do you think Mike Munchak can fix him and fix all those
issues? Do I? No.
No, okay.
I don't.
Well, and it's interesting to hear that response because we were having this discussion this past week and Chad Brown texted me and he said, what you're seeing from Garrett Bowles is not what he's being coached to do. He's not. It's not about whether Mike Munchak has the goods. It's about Garrett Bowles' receptiveness to the coaching.
And not only that, it's your ability to understand it, to absorb it. And the issue that I think, the difference between guys who are physically gifted and play exceptionally well and guys who are physically gifted and can't play, and it has nothing to do with the intelligence level. I just want to put that out there. It has to do with how fast you can process information. So when things hit you and they go into your eyes, how fast does your brain process the information and you just react? You're just a football player. Because if I see something, I have to go, okay, what was I supposed to do? Uh-oh. gone. And that's every position.
And that's why it takes rookies.
Right. That's,
you know,
safety.
A while
that's
to
receiver. Like, you're running around.
Because
like,
thinking so
think
much.
About, think about you. You're running around. You're outside. You're running around. And you're told, hey, man, if you get this look, I want you to run a post. If you get this look from the defense, I want you to turn that post into a dig. And I want you to do it while you're running 4-3-8. And you gotta absorb all that stuff while you're running. All of a sudden, you see it because the quarterback is throwing, because he sees it. And all of a sudden, you run the wrong route, and it's picked off. And the quarterback, the, everybody goes, "Oh, that quarterback sucks." And you know, oh shoot, I was supposed to adjust my route. Like, that stuff happens in the NFL on every single play. And if you can't process information quickly enough, I don't care who you are, you can't play in this league. That's the bottom line.
Stoke 4-3-8.
Yeah, wow. I gave that to you.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Appreciate you. You were spot on. You were spot on.
In my head, he's got more process time when he's going 5-2.
I got a lot of process time here.
What am I going to do here?
I'm ready to answer the question, though, now, Zach. Can I answer the question? It's Rich Scangarello. That's who I'm looking forward to seeing. How does he orchestrate the quarterback? How does he orchestrate the offensive line? He's the one that's calling all these shots. I want to see how he's going to look, more so than Vic Fangio, Flacco, offensive line, all these other, you know, different pieces that are changing.
I think it's a great point, too, because the way your offensive coordinator calls plays can really help guys that are struggling, especially as an offensive line.
So he can help the offensive line. He can help the quarterback, you know, dialing up things that Joe Flacco likes to do. So for me, man, it's Rich Scangarello, his first time ever calling plays, you know, in that mold of Kyle Shanahan, Mike Shanahan, Gary Kubiak style. What will his style look like? So that's what I'm looking forward to seeing.
Well, it's going to be a blast. We're going to be out there, training camp 2019, road to redemption. And just to echo what I said earlier, I just don't think we could pick a better mantra here, because this team, this roster, the general manager, the organization, it needs some redemption. It hasn't been good here. It hasn't been good enough. And we're about to turn the page here. Starting tomorrow with the Broncos' first meeting, everyone will be back, maybe except for Drew Lock, who's still we haven't heard news yet whether he's going to hold out or not. Sort of beside the point as 2019 is concerned. But I can't wait, and I know I speak for the group. We all can't wait to bring you your best Broncos coverage right here on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Huge shout out to Brothers Barbecue, who once again did a tremendous job.
So good.
Full service catering, on-site grilling for whatever you got going on this summer. They'll deliver the delicious smoked meats and handcrafted sides no matter where you are. Hit them up. Brothers-BBQ.com. Local guys, good guys. We know those guys. They do a great job.
You brought Tupperware. Delicious. You love it so much. You brought Tupperware
home. I brought Tupperware.
Tupperware, baby.
Hey, sweetheart, I'm cooking tonight.
I got you, baby. Yeah. I got you.
Who loves you? Daddy loves you.
That's right. Thank you guys for being here.
Good work, Zach. Good work.
Time. Thank you, Stoke. And my number one storyline, since no one asked me,
right,
is
we gotta go.
We'll
gotta go.
And it's a drive.
No punter beef this year. No punter beef.
All right.
We got Tom Nalen and D-Mac with the drive coming up next.